Well, this morning I want to talk and continue in the series that we have begun last week, which was the kind of church that Jesus builds. And we need to know that as a church family. We need to know the kind of church that Jesus is interested in building here at Madison Avenue and continuing to build here at Madison Avenue. And last week we looked at how the Word of God is the foundation for everything that we do as a church. If you don't have the Word as a sure foundation, then the building is going to be off. The building is going to be skewed. The building is going to have issues if the foundation isn't strong. But today I want to talk to you about how worship focuses the church. How worship focuses the church. And if you join me in the Psalms, we're going to look briefly at Psalm 145, 146, 147, a little bit of 148 and 149 and 150, but then come back and deal a lot more with Psalm 147 and develop that. Now think about it with me this way. Jesus told us in John chapter 4, verse 23, that the Father is seeking worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. Now track with me. If God is seeking these kinds of worshipers, those who worship in spirit and in truth, then the church should be producing those kinds of worshipers. The church should be cultivating and developing these kinds of worshipers. That's why on our disciples' pathway, the very first step of a disciple is to connect up with God in worship. That's the very first thing that we need to do as followers of Christ is to become true worshipers. Worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. Worshippers who worship with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now think about the opposite for a minute to help you get the point. Imagine a disciple who says something along these lines. I like the fellowship of the church. I like the fellowship of my connect group. I like studying the Bible. I like going deeper in discipleship. I like participating in missions. I like going out and spreading God's word. But I don't like worship. Can you imagine how miserable that person is going to be in eternity? When we spend our time worshiping and exalting over and in the living God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, we would say that we had failed as a church if we weren't producing authentic worshipers. That we missed the whole point for which God created us and saved us and redeemed us is to make us a people who declare the praises of the Lord. So a worshiping church is critical to being the kind of church that Jesus wants to build. In other words, where there is no worship in spirit and in truth, there's no gospel. There's no Christ. There's no fulfillment of the mission. So it all begins in worship. Because here's what you're going to understand as we move through this, that the key to my connecting in community is the worship of Almighty God. The key to growing deeper in discipleship is the worship of Almighty God. The key to taking the gospel around the world and to the nations is because those nations don't worship the living God. And we want them to worship Him. So worship drives this. Worship focuses the church. And really, week in and week out, that's what God is reminding us in worship. That this is all about Him. It is all about His fame and His name and His glory. So connecting up in worship is critically important to the beginning of this step of discipleship. We can't skip this step. We can't say things like, well, I just don't like to sing, or I just don't like to be in the sanctuary. I don't really like worship, so I'm going to move on to other things. Worship is at the heartbeat of everything that we do. God created us to worship Him. Jesus redeemed us to worship Him. And so we need to pray that the worship of our hearts and our minds will grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That God glorifying, Christ exalting, and Spirit-filled worship focuses the church like nothing else. Friends, it's why we're here. If you walked into this building today and there was no worship of God, I hope you would walk out. If you walked into this building today and there's no sense of the awesomeness of God, no sense of the gospel, no sense through song and worship of the magnificence and the glory of the Lord, I would walk immediately. Because you need to be in a church where we're in awe of the living God. You need to be in a church that sees God as awesome. God as glorious. God as holy. God as exalted. That's what you find when you get into these psalms. Notice in Psalm 145... a song of praise, a song of David. And he begins this way, I will extol you. That word extol means to honor. That word extol means to reverence. David is saying, I have my God. I have my King. And if you have your God and if you have your King, worship Him the way He deserves. Worship Him the way we should. Extol Him, honor Him, reverence Him. Treat Him as holy. And holy is set apart in His magnificence and in His majesty and in His glory. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless. That word bless means to consecrate. It means you are blessing God, setting apart God in your heart and in your mind. And the duration of this extolling of God my King, the duration of this blessing of His name forever and ever, the duration is eternity. And folks, here on earth, we're just warming up. We're just warming up for what eternity is going to provide us. Opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. And those who know Him, those who love Him, those who serve Him, those who adore Him, this blessing of His name forever and ever is not tedious, is not burdensome. It is the joy of the Lord in us that leads us to this wonderful opportunity, blessing the name of the Lord forever and ever and ever, because He has saved my soul forever, forever, forever. Not only does He mention the duration, but He also mentions the frequency. Watch this in verse 2. Every day. What does that mean? Every day? Surely He must be kidding. I mean, we have to take Saturday off, don't we? Maybe Monday night, for Monday night national championship game coming up, we got to take some time off. Every day. Every day. What does that tell you and I? It tells you and I that worship, hear me, worship doesn't begin in this sanctuary. Worship begins in your heart. on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, and then guess what? Sunday morning, collectively, we come together as the body of Christ, and guess what? We corporately get to do all of the overflow of our worship from Monday through Saturday spills out into a Sunday celebration. That's what's happening. Week in and week out, it is daily worship, an attitude of worship. Adding that element into your life as you wake tomorrow and you say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I am awake to praise your name. And off you go. And in all of that day, the opportunities that present themselves to give thanks to God, to give praise to God daily. Every day, I will bless you. And I will praise, extol, bless, praise. This is unashamed adoration. I will praise unhindered, freely. Exalt you and praise your name forever and ever. For here's the key principle, verse 3. Great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. Listen, your worship is proportional to the greatness of your God. The greater you see and savor and treasure the greatness of God, the greater your worship becomes. Which means what? We need to understand and marvel at the greatness of our God, because we want Him to be greatly praised. To know Him and sing aloud, verse 7 says of this chapter, they shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud. Every once in a while you'll meet somebody and they'll be like, oh, I like to sing silently. I don't know how to do that. I'm not sure. Singing aloud with enthusiasm. Do you know that word enthusiasm in English comes from our Greek word entheos? Enthusiasm comes from being in God and from God being in us. And when God is in us and we are in God, guess what happens? Exuberance, enthusiasm, passion, and affections and emotions come out of us because God is in our hearts. And He's living and He's vibrant and He's full. And it causes us not to sing silently, but to sing aloud, shout of His righteousness, singing our theology. Psalm 146 says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. The soul has to be summoned to worship. Soul, we are worshiping. And we cannot worship with a soul or a heart that is disconnected from that experience. Worship is not a shoulder-up experience. Worship involves all of us, the spiritual, the physical, the emotive, the mind, the heart, all is poured into this worship of the living God. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Look at Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. Verse 7 says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving and make melody to our God on the lyre. There's the introduction of instrumentality accompanying the worship. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. 148, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. All of creation is praising Him. Sun and moon, praise Him. All you shifting, shining stars, praise Him. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. You just can't get away from it. So you might as well learn how to do it. Amen? Amen. Or oh me. Praise the Lord. Psalm 149, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord. I looked this up in every translation. I can't find a different word. Sing to the Lord a new song. That doesn't mean we don't sing an old song. But there is something in Scripture about the freshness of a new song offered to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Let your praise be fresh unto Him. His praise in the assembly of the godly. In Psalm 150, wow, what an ending to the book of Psalms. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet and sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Just seeing if you were awake. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Clint, there it is, brother. Spank them. Loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to drill down a little bit on this phrase in Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. Can I just say to you that I struggle greatly with the person who says that I don't like to sing? I find it amazingly difficult to obey the Bible if you're not going to put any effort into singing. I remember the very first time I was at Vine Run Baptist Church, a brand new pastor, and our music director quit. And the chairman of the deacons came to me, he said, what are we going to do? And I said, well, I will lead the music as best I can. And I remember standing where I'm standing today, in a different church, up front, and noticing the number of people who didn't even try to sing. I want you to hear me and hear me so clear today. Singing is a heart issue. Amen. It is not a, well, I don't sing very well, or I have difficulty carrying a tune, or I have this. I have all the excuses that you want to come up with. The power of singing together corporately focuses the church like nothing else. And we get to participate in that. I used to get so frustrated when people would come up and say, oh, I don't like the song service. I was like, what is the song service? Well, the song service is what happens before the preaching service. And I said to him, please understand that when God is seeking worshipers who worship in spirit and truth, there is not a separation in worship between the music and the word. It is all about worship. Preaching is worship when we rightly understand it. You should be worshiping as I am worshiping while I'm preaching God's word. Jamie's not up here to put on a show. The choir is not up here to entertain us. It is leading us together. It is worship that is participatory and not spectator. And way too much of worship in the church today says, I'm here, I'm going to sit back, I'm going to relax. You entertain me. You wow me. You put on a show. And that's as far from the heart of God and far from the scripture that we can possibly get. Amen. We have gifted people who want to lead us to the throne of God. And we thank God for them. But they are not the performers and we're the observers. I've told Jamie over and over again, he did it beautifully today on the power of the cross. That's not a song for you to just be entertained by. That's a song for you to worship along with this choir and to praise the one who paid it all and who came out of that grave. So it's good. Why is it good to sing our praises to God? I've got five reasons. I'm going to move quickly. Five reasons. Some of you are taking notes. I love it when I see a notepad in a Bible. Why is it good to sing praises to our God? Number one, because it puts the focus where it belongs. On God and not on us. Worship does that. Daily worship says to God, God, you're my everything and I'm nothing. God, you're my all in all. God, you are the focus of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, you're my everything. Worship puts the focus where it belongs, on God and not on us. And here is a verse, Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. That should be the prayer of our heart. I seek no glory for myself from the preaching of the word. The people who come up here and lead us in worship week in and week out are simply trying to point you toward that glory. Not in it for ourselves, not in it for our performances, not in it because we think we're going to win a Grammy or an Oscar. We're doing what we're doing because we're pointing you to something greater than us. Amen. And His name is the Magnificent God, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Christ, our salvation, our Savior, and our love. That's why we sing songs like we did today. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life in atonement for sin and opened the floodgates so that all may go in. It's all about God and His glory. And if you miss that, you miss the focus of worship. I mean, if you were to draw a circle around yourself, you would be at the what? The center of the circle. That's not how worship works. It is not your circle. It is His circle. He is in the center of that circle. And you are serving everything in your heart, everything in your mind, everything that you've got is serving to move the focus to Him. Because we don't serve or worship or live for the glory to be on us. Which brings me to number two. Because God's glory is rightly exalted and affectionately praised. We're simply answering this question, this statement, filling it out. For it is good to sing praises to our God. Why is it good? Why is it a blessing? Because God's glory is rightly exalted and affectionately praised. The worship of God centers around the glory of God. And the glory of God is the awesome weight of all of His attributes put together as God. It's what makes Him completely and utterly transcendent. No one is like Him. No one compares to Him. And our worship, our adoration should reflect that. We should worship Him like there's no other option, because there's not. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like our God. Listen to Psalm 29, verse 2. Ascribe to the Lord. Psalm 29, 2, if you want to write it down as a cross-reference. Ascribe to the Lord. That word ascribe means to give attribute to. You are telling God in ascribing to Him who He is. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name, and worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. So it's good to sing praises to our God, because it fixes us on His unchanging glory. Ascribing to the Lord the glory that is due His name. Oh, I can't wait to get into that sanctuary with the people of God and praise our God and ascribe to our God the glory that is due His name. Glory, 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 Lord. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about giving God the glory due His name. Worshiping the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. That's why we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Right? Our God is holy. And doesn't it say in that hymn that early in the morning, which 10:30 is early for some of you, so it fits, our song shall rise to Thee. A song. God's people singing a song as an offering. See, you're mistaken. You think the offering is what's happening at the end of the service when you drop an envelope into the plate. The real offering is the offering of worship that you're bringing into the house of God. The offering is the fruit of our lips that confess His holy name. That's the goodness of singing His praises. Number three, because it humbles us. Why is it good to sing praises to our God? Number three, because it humbles us and exalts God. Do you know worship is a confession? And as a confession, worship is saying to God, God, You alone are worthy. None can compare to You and Your worthiness. God, You alone are good. There's no one or anything that can compare to Your goodness, I confess. God, You alone deserve glory and honor. And in the midst of that confession, what are you doing? You are humbling yourself before this God who is worthy. You are humbling yourself before this God who is good, because you know how good He's been to you. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 95, verse 6, "Oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker." Worship. True worship is the magnification of God and the minimization of self. Let me say that again, because it's critical. True worship is the magnification of God. When you magnify something, it looks what? Big, because it is. But it's also the minimization of self. And we've gotten that backwards in the church in America today. Because in the Church of America today, worshipers want to magnify their preferences. Hey, this is about me. And if you don't entertain me, if you don't give me what I want, if you don't approach this as a consumer mentality, I'll walk and I'll find a place that will. That's the state of many churches in America today, who've made it about themselves, about their tradition, about their preferences. We could go on and on and on and on. But is anybody asking the question, what does God want? I mean, if worship really is the magnification of God, if God is magnified among us, then God, what do you want that to look like? And He's given us 150 Psalms to figure it out. The Psalms are so rich in their theology of worship and their call to praise and adore the living God. It's not about my style, my preferences, what I want, when I want it. In fact, false worship is the magnification of self and the minimization of God. Number four, why is it good to sing praises to our God? Because it unifies us around the true treasure that we're all seeking to honor, Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Because it unifies us around the true treasure. We are all seeking to honor Jesus Christ. Could you imagine coming in here on a Sunday? And all of a sudden we made this announcement that, hey, if you want to worship the sports god, He's over there. If you want to worship the rock and roll god, He's over there. And if you want to worship the bluegrass god, He's over there. And if you want to worship this or worship that. And we just all emptied the room and everybody went their own direction to find their own preference of worship. But we don't do that, do we? We come in here and we worship one God. We come in here and we lift up together one song with one voice, with one heart, with one mind. Friends, that's where the unity of the church comes. Because you and I put aside our preferences for the greater good of the glory of God. We lay aside what we want because we understand it's about what God wants. And what's amazing in worship is when we finally come to that point where we surrender what we want and we lay ourselves bare before the Lord and say, Lord, do what You want in me. It is amazing to see how what you used to want, you no longer want, because all you want is what God wants. That's called maturity. It's called sanctification. It's called getting to the point in your life where you die to yourself. The only thing you care about, the only thing you worry about is living to Him. It's the power of singing together, which is why it's so important for your voice to be in the mix, for your offering unto the Lord to join others as they offer theirs, so that it comes together in a sweet harmony of worship that glorifies the Lord. And then number five, why is it good for us to sing praises to our God? And I want you to notice that there is a phrase that I think is critically important in that verse, to God. There are songs in which we sing horizontally. The power of the cross would be one of them. We're reminding ourselves and each other what the gospel is, and we're singing that. And even in our horizontal singing, God is worshiped and God is glorified. But there's something special about songs that directly address God. And let me give you the illustration that I think might help you understand that. If you're married and you're in a group and you're talking about your wife and just how wonderful she is, right, guys? And how awesome she is. And she's not there. You're talking about her. And then she walks into the room. And instead of talking about her, you begin to talk with her. Honey, I was just telling them how awesome you are. Because she's present. We don't talk like she's not in the room, right? We talk and acknowledge like, hey, she's here. In the same way, when we gather to worship on Sunday corporately together, God is here. And because God is here, we have this awesome opportunity to praise Him directly to Him in songs that speak. I exalt You. I exalt You. I exalt You, O Lord. See what that does? It just puts the focus. And I'm there. And I want you to know, sometimes you watch me down here, because I know you watch me, and I'll close my eyes. It's not because I'm tired. It's not because I stayed up late to watch the Titans, because I didn't, but I'm really glad they won. I close my eyes because it helps me to focus. And when I close my eyes and I sing to the Lord, sometimes it's just a moment that I need to remind myself, this is real. This is real. God is my audience. I get to praise Him. I get to exalt Him. I get to tell Him He's worthy. You are worthy, Father, Creator. You are worthy, Savior, Sustainer. You are worthy, sing it, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise. Father, we love You. And God, my vision for this church is the vision You have for this church. That we would be a worshiping church. And Father, I don't know what's holding us back. I don't know what causes us to quench the movement of the Spirit in our own hearts, that causes us to pull back. But Lord, there's so many people that are struggling with that. And Father, here's what I know most of the time. It seems to be our own fear. It seems to be our own fear. And we're so afraid of what people might say. We're so afraid of how it might look. But Lord, when I read about David, he worshiped the Lord without any shame, freely. And Father, I pray that we'll get our hearts and our minds around this critical aspect of worship, to be the kind of worshiping church where there is such a freedom. Father, it's not about our tradition. It's not about how we were raised. Father, all of us were raised differently. All of us came under different traditions. But what matters is what Your Word says. And Your Word says that if I'm going to worship You, I need to bow down. If I'm going to worship You, I need to lift my hands. If I'm going to worship You, I'm going to praise and extol the name of the Lord. I'm going to lift my eyes to heaven. Lord, I'm going to let the Spirit loose in my worship so that I can worship in spirit and in truth, so that I can be the worshiper that You desire me to be. So, Father, whatever You need to expose in us, my prayer is that You would expose it, that we would repent of it, that we would confess it, that we would ask, oh Lord, for You to remove it, Because God, I know you want unhindered praise and worship and adoration. You don't want us quenching the Spirit's fire in us. You want us to be at your feet, to be at your throne, and to give you glory. So, Father, we pray that you'd make us the church you want us to be. You would build the church here at Madison Avenue that you want to bless and build. And Father, we're grateful for the worship that focuses us on what really matters. Would you speak to our hearts during this invitation time today? Would you move in our hearts to show us the next step that we need to take in being worshipers the Father seeks in spirit and in truth? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.